Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, we can finally see partial mountains here today. It's been smoky around here. But you know what? God has a way of just blowing those smoky things away from us so that we can breathe fresh air. It may not be every day, but those are going to be clear days when we see Him. Oh, it's so wonderful to know that He's our God and we can depend on Him for every little thing in life. Oh, may the Lord fill you with confidence today. You are His, you are valuable, and you are blessed. Praise the Lord. That's what I tell you every day on the radio. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And I believe it's so important for us at this time to get really into prayer sessions. Have a time that you pray, maybe right after your Bible reading. Take a few minutes. It doesn't have to be long. An effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person. Amen. It affects everybody, and it's so effectual. It's dynamic, and God is so willing to bring that prayer into manifestation. So thank you for praying and interceding for this country. We really need this. Our memory verse for this week has been Psalm 89, verse 14 and 15. I was just thinking about that as I was getting out of bed this morning. Oh, praise the Lord. Psalm 89, verse 14 and 15 from the New Living Translation. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Unfailing love and truth walk before you as attendants. Happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship, for they will walk in the light of your presence, Lord. And then from the Passion, Psalm 89, and verse 14 and 15. Your glorious throne rests on a foundation of righteousness and just verdicts. I'm believing that all of President Trump's convictions will be overturned in Jesus' name. I really believe that. Grace and truth are the attendants who go before you, O Lord. How blessed are the people who experience the shout of worship, for they walk in the radiance of your presence. Wow, what great, great, great verses. And we know that when Jesus stands on the mount near Jerusalem, that you're going to see justice. You're going to see justice on this earth. Praise the Lord. It seems so unfair at times right now, but there's going to be a day of justice. My confession for today by Rick Renner: I boldly declare that I am watchful concerning the condition of my spiritual life, not my brother's, not my sister's, my spiritual life. You know, sometimes we overlook our spiritual life. We always have eagle eyes for everybody else. Oh, I am watchful concerning the condition of my spiritual life. Thank you, Rick. Holy Spirit helps me recognize when I get too busy and fail to pray. In fact, Holy Spirit shows me every area of my life that is weak and that needs attention. When Holy Spirit speaks to me, I am quick to listen and quick to obey. He helps me close doors to the enemy where he tries to infiltrate and harass my life. Oh, praise God. We have a Lord Jesus Christ who has gained the victory through the cross in his precious name. We always proclaim to break strongholds in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to find a chord here. Rachel has given me a heating pad and I couldn't find, yes, I do. It's 98 degrees outside and I'm sitting on a heating pad in the studio because it's so cold. And so I finally found it. Yes, here it is. Oh, my goodness. Oh, so I declare this by faith in Jesus' name to understand. Oh, my goodness, what we have to go through in life. Oh, I've been enjoying. Now, all of us have heard Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. Most of our life, there have been sermon upon sermon of, for everything there is a season, an appropriate time for everything, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. And probably by the time we're into the 14th time, we figure, wow, why did Solomon do this? Because he wants you to know that each and every one of these things he was writing about, you're going to go through in your life once or twice or maybe more times than that. So we understand God's will for our lives will bring us through all the cycles of life as overcomers. Yes, timing is so important when it comes to important issues in your life, being at the right place at the right time. So we're going to go through, I think, yesterday we went through a time to be born and a time to die, or that was a Tuesday, excuse me. We've gone through a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest. Oh, yeah. Dad was out there early in March, and he was getting the ground ready for planting, and he planted. And then by October, everything was being plowed under and taken to the silo, the corn taken to the silo. I mean, it was a wonderful time, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal. Now we're going to go on with verse 3. I really am appreciating these verses right now. There is a time to tear down and a time to build up. And you've probably seen the tearing down and the building up. That's so important in our lives. We have all been to a building that's being built. We've seen it along the way. A lot of apartments going up in Denver. So day after day, we're seeing these huge cranes and these apartments going up. If we live long enough, we will eventually see the end of that building's usefulness and see it torn down. Peter exhorts his followers that they are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. We don't stay stagnant, friend. Mm-mm. We are ever learning. And even in old age, we continue to learn. And there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. And we've all been through a time of weeping because of the fallen world we live in. There's going to be times we're weeping. Yes, we are. But there was a moment about 2 years after John had died and I was married to Darren. And he said, okay, Barbara, it's time to close that door to the grief and sorrow. And I, as an act of my will, I made it my goal that day to close that door, close it to all the emotions I'd gone through. And it was such a blessing. It is. If you're still going through something that that happened 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, and you're still crying about it, friend, I just close that door to the grief and the sorrow. If there's been trauma, I bind that spirit of trauma in Jesus' name, and I loose a spirit of peace around you. So there, you know, there are going to be times of weeping, but in moments of laughter, oh, it's so refreshing to laugh, isn't it? In fact, Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. And it is absolutely a strength drainer. It really is. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Part of being a good friend is to grieve when other people grieve and rejoice when they rejoice. I think the grieving session lasts a little bit less when we have friends around us who are sharing in the grief. And Jesus wept when he saw the grief others experienced over the death of his friend Lazarus. Jesus wept even though he knew he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead when there would be great rejoicing. And you can find that in John 11. A time to dance reminds me of a service in Phoenix that Darren and I attended. And the spirit was so heavy that it seems like everyone was dancing in the aisle. So I got out in the aisle and I danced like David danced. Well, maybe not, but I was dancing. It was such a heavenly experience. At that time, Israel Houghton, who then went to Lakewood Church, he was the worship leader. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it was just a marvelous time. But you know what? The next day, I had shin splints. Oh, so one day, I'm rejoicing and laughing, and the next day, I'm moaning and groaning. Oh, but it was worth it. It was absolutely worth it. Solomon notes that there's a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. Perhaps he had in mind the famous episode of his father, King David, who gathered stones to face Goliath. Yes, he did. He gathered more than one stone. But only one stone hit Goliath right where it needed to be. It was right on the mark. And you can find that in 1 Samuel 17, 40 through 50. Darren told me of times when he was a small boy, he loved throwing stones. And sometimes he was throwing stones and it resulted in broken windows and punishment ensued with apologies to the neighbors. Yes, his dad had him went over to the neighbors and said, I will replace the window that Darren broke. Oh, he sounds like Dennis the Menace, doesn't he? He told me when he married me, I'm glad that you didn't know me when I was young. And then I saw him skip rocks. When we stopped along the Arkansas River, I was amazed at the amount of skips he got, just adjusting that stone he had in his hand to a certain angle. Boy, the record that day was 11 skips. It was beautiful to behold, beautiful just to count one skip after another. And we were at a spot where it was very calm in the Arkansas River. It was just a wonderful time learning more and more about our mates. That's a wonderful thing to know. Now, Solomon reflects that there's a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. Ooh, why should we shun embracing? Well, there are times, you know, there were times in our ministry when Darren would step between me and another man who wanted to hug me, a full hug. And Darren always said, we partial hug. If it's a man, he comes alongside you and hugs you. He didn't want anything from that man that was in any way detrimental to be absorbed by me. Now, there is a time and a place for shows of affection, but in some situations, affection is inappropriate. Sometimes we embrace other people to show support or love. Other times we shun embracing when we are resolving a conflict or are giving someone space. Yep, it's important to give people space and are refusing to let someone manipulate us with physical affection. Oh, have you ever seen a person try to manipulate another person by being overly affectionate? It is just really sad. It is. Life is full of holding on and letting go. Let go and let God. 1 Timothy 5:22 in the New American Standard says, it tells us, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily. And this is for usually the office of pastor or an office in the church. But this is important for people also. If you don't know a man and he's coming up to hug you, just be careful. Yes, ask Holy Spirit, stick my hand out for a handshake, or what shall I do, Lord? And he'll tell you, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourselves pure from sin. So important, friend. A time to search and a time to give up is lost. There was a 13-year-old who attended our church in Greeley, and she disappeared right near Christmas time in 1983. I'll never forget that. Never. And she was a precious girl, and we knew Gloria and her husband so much. And after years and years of searching for her, her parents relented and realized that she was with Jesus. In 2019, after 36 years, an oil worker at a well north of Greeley discovered human bones. And yep, it turned out to be the bones of this precious girl. And there are times in life when we just must give it to Jesus, and he will judge. And how did this oil worker in this huge field, they showed the field, acres and acres of dirt, how did he find these bones? Well, sometimes it's inevitable for Holy Spirit to show himself bold and bring a closure to these parents. Yes, they charged a man who was found guilty, and he's now serving a life sentence in prison. Every lost person should be searched for, but the search can't last forever. We only have one life here, friend. You can't search and search and search and search. I remember, you know, the parables Jesus said about losing a pearl of great price and looking, or a coin in the house and looking for it. And I've done that. The keys. I lost the keys. I got to find them. So I've gone to the angels. Thank you, Father, for sending your angels to find the keys, to find that coin, to find what I lost. And lo and behold, the angels find it. Yes, they have. It's been wonderful. Oh, thank God for his angels who are all ministering servants sent to render service to those who inherit salvation. And that's Hebrews 1:14. And I'm a servant, and they are a servant, and I am one who inherits the salvation. Oh, praise God for his angels. I hope your angels aren't on the unemployment line. I really do. I believe that some of you have never called on the angels of God to go before you, but I do every day in my vehicle. There is a time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A tailor must first rip the pants to adjust the hem and sew it back together. I made clothes for my family, almost all the clothing, including John's jackets, when we were first married and the children were really young. And then when they got into junior high and they wanted jeans and sweaters, I quit sewing. But I remember getting a whole jacket done and seeing that the lines weren't in line. Had to tear it out. Oh, all those hours and hours. Tear it out. Put it back together again. Oh, have you ever been in a relationship that ended in a disagreement and you didn't speak to that person for years? Then one day you see them and strike up a new relationship. Hi, how have you been? It's been so long. And God brings you back together with this person. You have matured and you've been sewn together in a relationship. It's so good. There's a time to be silent and a time to speak. Solomon is quite articulate about this in the book of Proverbs. He talks about that often. And silence is golden when you're with a person you love. I know that there were times when Darren, when we drove to Portland, Oregon, or we drove up to the gas wells in Wyoming, and there were an hour or two that we wouldn't say a thing. Most of the time we would, but there were times that we wouldn't say a thing, and it was so precious. You can sit together for hours and be comfortable not speaking. James 1 verse 19 tells us, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. There is a clear connection to righteous living in knowing when to listen and when to speak. Solomon also notes there's a time to love and a time to hate. Now, this might be confusing to you because Jesus tells us that if we hate someone in our heart, that's as much as murder. And you can find it in Matthew 5. So we're told not to hate people, but God hates evil. So we can pray against evil in this country. Remember the other day, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, that I said it's important that you don't pray against specific people because those people are going to be gone. Like Mr. Biden, if you prayed against him for so many years, he's gone. And you don't have to pray against him anymore. It's important you don't pray against people. You pray against the policies, against the ideologies that they're supporting. That's so important. And that's what God says. He hates evil. He hates evil and he loves good. You can find that in Psalm 97, verse 10, and Proverbs 8, verse 13. Now in Amos 5, verse 15, and you have problems writing this down while I'm talking because I only have half an hour, you can go to freedomstreet.org and click on radio shows and go to this day, Thursday, July 25th, and find that program and write them down at your leisure. And Amos 5, verse 15 in the Living Translation tells us to hate evil and love what is good. So there's a time to hate and a time to love. Turn your courts into true halls of justice. Oh, we desperately need godly halls of justice in our land right now. Finally, there's a time of war and a time for peace. The Bible is clear that there are just and unjust reasons for war, and that the only moral use of violence is to deter the earth from filling with violence. For instance, Genesis 9 tells us the earth was filling up with violence, and God did something. The proper end to war is peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he will execute war on the nations at the end of this age, bringing all the earth to justice. Hallelujah. Oh, and then initiate a new age of peace. Revelation 19, verse 11 through 21, and Revelation 20, verse 1 through 6. Oh, Jesus is that Prince of Peace. Aren't you thankful for that? Each person I'm speaking to today has gone through each and every cycle of time, timing that we've mentioned this week. Solomon was right. There's a rhythm to everything we experience, and more in the future. There's a rhythm. I have felt that in the pattern that my heart beats, in the pulse that we have. After you've run rapidly, then you're feeling pulse in that heart beating. That's rhythm. And it's so wonderful to see that all of nature is standing on tiptoes, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. And this unveiling is imminent, soon to happen and destined to take place. Christ's glory will come to us, enter us, fill us, envelop us, and then be revealed through us as partakers of the glory. Oh, my friends, we're going to see him face to face someday and going to revel in this wonderful peace and joy that we have in him. This is the time. This is the time, friends, that we must tell others about Jesus. I talked to a man that I hadn't talked to for 10, 12 years. I called him because his wife had died. And I told him, so what have you done for these last 60 years? Because he's my age. And when I asked him if he knew John 3:16, he said, well, I think I've heard of it. You've heard of John 3:16? What have you been doing with your life? And we have to ask our friends sometimes, what have you been doing with your life? Jesus loves you so much, and he wants you to draw close to him. He wants you to know him in a personal way. We've got to be singing. We've got to be talking. We've got to be telling people about Jesus. This next song that John and I are singing, when my dad died in 1985, he was 65. Too soon. We sang this song, Shackles Can Hold You No More, Dad. Shackles can hold you no more. You're free. You're in a new body. And Jesus loves having you enter into that kingdom. Here we are. This is the time I must sing.
Song I can sing. He silenced ye mountains, ye fields and ye fountains, for this is the time I must sing. It's the time to sing praises to the rock of the ages, and this is the time. To sing praises to the rock of the ages.
Praise God. This is the time. This is the time. When are you going to do it? I mean, if you've not mentioned God to your friends, if you've not mentioned the Lord Jesus, when is the time? When are you going to do it? Jesus is coming soon. He really is. Oh, I remember being at the Gaither Studios singing that song, and this was the only album where John didn't play the piano. It was singers and musicians that came to the studio then. And so we got to stand up together at the mics, hugging each other. It was just such a wonderful experience. And when I hear that song again, I feel John's arms around me, and I hope that you feel the Lord Jesus' arms around you. Oh, I have certainly enjoyed talking about Ecclesiastes 3 this week. Oh, these cycles of timing, they are appointed by God that gives them meaning and purpose. This is a stark contrast to observing the cycles from a perspective of human reason and experience, where they just look at a person or like running on a treadmill. It's a mystery, a vapor to our reason, but it's a beautiful paradox of God's eternal kingdom. Trust in Him. Oh, trusting in Him transcends all uncertainty. Some days I'm uncertain about what I'm going to decide on. I don't want to know what to do. I don't know where to go. And Holy Spirit just kind of organizes my days for me. I hope He's doing that for you. Oh, we can trust Him in everything that we do, in every decision we make. He wants you to choose life today, friend. I want you to choose life, not death, not a curse. I want you to live in the Lord Jesus. Oh, this is the time we really must sing. God bless you and keep you, and take joy in everything you do.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in